go to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. We'll read only two verses, from verse starting on verse 18. Mark, chapter 5, verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but says unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. First of all, let me just, in case you don't remember this story that well, I'm going to bring you up to speed, up to date on it. I'm going to briefly just give you some of the things of this story, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the church in the South Side, and then I'll come back and make some points out of the verses that I read, which will be my message. But what you've got here is a guy that had gone crazy. You might want to call him a homegrown terrorist. He was terrorizing the country of the Gadarenes. And of course, every time they were going to bury somebody and go to the cemetery, they were having problems with this man. He would terrorize everybody. They had would bind him with chains and fetters. He would break everything. He was devil-possessed. So what you've got here is a man who, when he saw Jesus, he ran to him and bowed down and began to worship. And of course, the Lord began to speak, but he was speaking with the devils. Nevertheless, the devils asked for permission to go into the swine. There were several thousand there. And the Lord gave him permission, so they departed, got into the swine. The swine went over the cliff, and they all committed homicide. That's what somebody said one time here, an old-time preacher. He said they committed homicide. But what you've got is you've got all these things happening then. And then, of course, he gains his senses. He gets dressed up. And now he wants to follow the Lord. And he comes over and he says, I want to go with you. I want to be part of the gang. And the Lord tells him, let me repeat again on verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but says unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. What we've got here is a guy who wants to follow the Lord. And every time that a person gets saved, they truly get saved, you want to follow the Lord and you want to go everywhere. You want to just please Him. And I know everybody has different experience, but my experience was just like this guy. Now, I probably was just as bad as him. I don't know. I know I did a lot of things, but I'm not confessing anything. The thing is that this guy wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to be in the middle of everything. He wanted to go with him. And the Lord told him no. And the point I'm going to make here before I go into talking to you about the church in the South Side is that many times we want to go a certain place and the Lord directs us somewhere else. Amen. Yeah. The thing is that not all of us have been called to go to the mission field. Right. And of course, if you do go, it's just like when I went to go visit Mexico many years ago. I hadn't retired yet. And I went to go visit. I wanted to be a missionary. And, of course, I wanted to go to Spain, first of all. And I went to Spain, and I saw that it wasn't feasible. It cost too much to live over there. And I wanted to work full-time for the Lord. I didn't want to go out and get a job. So I changed my mind, and I decided I want to go to Mexico. When I went to Mexico, I was talking to Bill, and he asked me, do you feel that the Lord has called you? Why do you want to go here? Do you feel that you've been called? And I says, I really don't. I don't know if I've been called or not. All I know is that I want to go. And the Lord doesn't send you a letter and tell you, yeah, you've been accepted. Yeah, you can go. Your marching orders are here.
Right.
You have to just make up your mind.
Amen.
And that's what I did. And nobody stopped me.
Amen.
So that's what I did. And I went. But the thing is, I've done and gone and done so many things.
Amen.
And it is the Lord that will order your footsteps.
Right.
So what we've got here is a man that wanted to follow the Lord. And you are told to follow the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, hey, follow me like I follow the Lord.
Amen.
He told Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, be ye therefore followers of God.
Amen.
When Jesus was calling the apostles, the disciples at that time, rather, he told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Amen.
So we've been told many times in the scriptures to follow the Lord. And here's a man that God saved, and he wants to follow the Lord, but he's told, no, you go somewhere else. The thing is that many times we want to go a certain way, just like the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Asia, and he was forbidden. He wanted to go to Bithynia, and they suffered him not. So many times we want to go a certain place, and the Lord says, no. And of course, he still wind up going to Jerusalem. The Lord didn't want him there. And we still get away with it, but we have to pay the price many times because we don't want to listen to what God has to say. But the point is, right now, is that I wanted to go and do some things, and the Lord had me going in different directions.
Amen.
But right now, where I'm at a good place, and I've done my circles. I've been here. I've done a lot of things while I was here. I was a pastor here. I had gone to Mexico. Came back. I went to Dallas. I had a little church over there, and several people got saved, including my partner in police work with the Transit Police. He was a man that was came from a line of kings in Nigeria. And, of course, he already retired. He got saved. He was with me 8 hours a day. He had no escape. He had to listen to me. But he finally got saved, and he began to come to the church at my house. And he became very faithful. And, of course, I can't find him no more every time I go to Dallas, so I'm assuming he went back to Nigeria. And I'm hoping that he's still serving the Lord.
Amen.
Nevertheless, many times we want to go a certain place and we wind up somewhere else. Right now, I'm in a good place. I left a good place here, but I'm in a good place also. And the main thing is that wherever you go, wherever the Lord leads you, whether He blocks the door here and you open and He opens up another door, because that's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with a God that will open a door and no man can shut, and He'll close a door and no man can open.
Amen.
So we go wherever the Lord leads you, wherever that door is open, you go right through it.
Amen.
The main thing is that I went to the south side and it looked so promising. We began to have so many visitors. A lot of people were staying and rejoicing, and we decided, you know why, we need to buy more chairs, and we did. And then we were thinking, you know why, we need another building. And we were beginning to look. But then the people come and they go. It's just like here at Oakno. They come and they go. And for different reasons, whatever the case might be, we're not concerned about that. The thing is, we did our best. We try to feed the flock. We try to give them good doctrine. We try to teach them and instruct them. But people, many times, they have itching ears. They want to go somewhere else. And many times, it's for other reasons that sickness, for work, and so many other reasons. The thing is that we still have a good group in the South Side. And I just want to let you know that we got some real faithful people there.
Amen.
The men, 100% of all the men, they all go out on the streets.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because I'm not going to tell you how many we are, only a few, but it sounds more better when I say 100%. But 100% of them, they either go street preaching or they go door knocking.
Amen.
The women also are very faithful when they come, and they also, they have their own prayer meetings. They're trying to reach the Lord.
Amen.
So that doors can be opened.
Amen.
So we have a lot of faithfulness in the group that we have, and we'll continue to keep on plugging.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, here's what I wanted to really, coming back to the story of the maniac from the gatherings. What the Lord told him is extremely important. And this is what I want to touch on tonight. You notice that the Lord says he told him he couldn't go. He says in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but says unto him, this is very important, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee.
Amen.
This is so important. It is not a new doctrine. It is not a new teaching. You find it throughout the scriptures. You find it in what Paul would do, and I'll give you examples. But you find it also in the Old Testament. When you read the book of Psalms, you find that that David praised the Lord always, 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 and he would tell you everything that hath breath, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what we see in the scriptures, and this is what the Lord told this man. He says, I know you want to go with me. You want to be, this is your desire. Nothing wrong with that. But the Lord closed the door there. The thing is that the Lord needs us wherever we go. We need to be workers for the Lord.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you go to your house, you go to your neighborhood, you go to your friends, you go to whoever you need to go to. The thing is that wherever you go, you got work to do. And this is what was told to this man. He said, you go home and go tell your friends all the things that God has done for you. And he says that what he has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. In other words, go brag on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this is God who's asking. Now, if an individual tells you, you need to go and brag on me, now you know that that's wrong. But this is the Lord. He wants to be glorified.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible teaches us over and over. When you praise the Lord, you know why? You're glorifying the Lord.
Amen.
And when you give your testimony of what God has done, it opens up people's eyes.
Amen.
Now, there's a ministry that that got started when I was here. We started a ministry in Spanish, and they recorded the Spanish services that we were having. And a bunch of sermons went out. They got copied into CDs. And one of the brothers here and his son, they began to multiply them into several thousands every month. And they give them to the truck drivers, and they spread them out throughout the U.S. And he's got my phone number on it, so I get a lot of phone calls. That's been happening for years. I just had a lady that called me a few days ago. She's the first truck driver that has called me. This is mostly truck drivers. They're the ones that pick them up. And she said, I heard sermons from Bill Kincaid. I heard sermons from you, and also from Michael Jackson. Those were the three types of CDs. We got CDs, all three of us. And this lady says, you all are my church. He says, I'm out in the highway all the time with my husband, and that's all we listen to. And then we listen to them, and we pass them on to my parents. We pass them on to our brothers. And let me tell you something. I've heard that story many, many times over. It goes all over the U.S. I get phone calls all the way from Puerto Rico, from all the islands in the Caribbean. One man said he's sending them all the way to Cuba. Another man was sending them to Mexico. And I get phone calls from all over, people that had heard them. And you know, one of the things that I hear constantly, or I've heard it many, many times, and this lady reminded me again, He says, I loved your testimony when you were talking about your death. It just really breaks me every time I think about that. The thing is that it touched them because I'm speaking of my dad, how he had been fooled by religion. And they began to cry. It made me cry a lot. I'll never forget it. The thing is that testimony really hits you right in the heart. And I'm speaking to people who had the same experience like me. And so they know that what I'm saying is so true. But nevertheless, this is what I see the Lord doing here. He's telling this man that had already gotten saved. Now he's in his right mind. He says, go to your friends and your neighbors and go tell them the great things that God has done for you and the compassion he had for you. Yeah. You know, that opens up our eyes. When you see the Apostle Paul also, when he was had been put in jail, you find it in Acts chapter 16, when he was at midnight, he began to pray. He was with Silas.
That's right.
He didn't get up and start preaching and saying that people need to repent and get saved. What he did is he began, both of them, to praise the Lord. Amen. And pray and sing praises unto God. And of course, you know the story. The doors got opened. The jailer was going to commit suicide. At that point, Paul called them and said, hey, don't do it. We're still here. And immediately his response was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Then Paul was able to preach. You see, when you give your testimony, you're giving God the glory. You're telling him about all how merciful he was for you. How the compassion that he had.
Amen.
How he took you out from that dunghill.
Amen.
Especially a man like this who had been for who knows how long. The Bible doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell you how old he was, how long he had been in this condition. The thing is that most of us men, we've been in that condition. I was lost for 36 years.
Amen.
Yep. Until the Lord finally came, because somebody came in and talked to me.
Amen.
Witnessed to me. But you know, the thing is that the Bible is very clear. We're supposed to raise up praises unto God.
Amen.
We're supposed to give our testimony.
Amen.
And you will notice also during the tribulation, when the saints of God will be killed, during those 7 years, the Bible says that that it's going to be they're going to defeat the enemy with the word of God and their testimony. They will be giving their testimony how they got saved. The thing is that God honors that so much. I want to show you another verse. So Psalm 107. Extremely important. This is a psalm about giving thanks to God. It seems like all the psalmists, all of them, all those who wrote, because there are several people that wrote in the psalms, they all seem to have the same theme. It's like they all had the same heart like David. The Bible said that David had a heart, or rather he had a man after God's own heart. And when you read the scriptures, you can understand why.
Amen.
All he did was just praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I want you to I'm going to read to you verse 8, Psalm 107, verse 8. He says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
And for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
That is said with an exclamation mark.
Amen.
That we believe every word, we ought to believe every punctuation also.
Right.
This is an exclamation mark. And also he says it again in verse 15.
Amen.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
But many times we don't catch it even the second time.
Yeah.
So then he gives it to you the third time on verse 21, the same exact verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful, for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
And then he gives it to you the fourth time.
That's right.
On verse 31. And you know, I read this a long time ago and it really impressed me. I guess because I'm kind of slow. And it takes, sometimes God has to hit you with it four times before it can finally sink. And I said, well, that must be the reason why he wrote it specially for people like me. I don't catch it real quickly. I remember I was reminding my wife that when I was taking the exam for the police department, the final exam to become a San Antonio policeman in 1968, everybody in the class had aced the first part. Everybody had made 100 on the first part. And they told us, there is no way none of you can flunk now. And they gave us the next part, 200 questions. And when I began to read it, I went into panic. I had a good grade. I had an 89 average. You had to maintain an 80 to make it. And as I began to read it, I said, I can't flunk. I just got married. I'm 22 years old. I don't have no experience in nothing else. I can't flunk. And I would read it, and I had no clue what I had read. And I read it again. I still had no clue. Finally, on the fourth time, I was like, okay, that's what it says. And then I would answer it. And I read every question four times until they told us, you got one more minute left. I still had 50 questions to go. I just said, Lord, help me. And I just marked everyone as fast as I could. I didn't read it. And I passed it with a 70. But I just want you to know something. I had to read it four times before it registered. So when I read this thing four times, I say, yeah, Lord, that's for me. I'm the one that can't get it the first time. I need to read it four times to be able to get it. So I just want you to know that this is what that man was told. So if you can't go, you want to go to the mission field, you know, the way I did it, just go. Amen. When Bill asked me, have you been called, or what's the, you know, how come you're coming, or how come you're going to be leaving and going to the mission field, I just said, I just want to go.
Right.
If the Lord don't want me, He'll stop me.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what he did with Paul. He wanted to go here, and the Lord forbid him. He wanted to go there, and the Lord forbid him.
That's right.
The Bible says that he's the one that opens the doors, and he closes the doors.
That's right.
So if you want to go and you can't go, no problem. The Lord doesn't want you to go.
That's right.
But the thing is that wherever we go, it don't matter whether it's here or in Mexico or Poland or anywhere else you want to go, we have a commandment. The Lord doesn't give you too many strings. You know, He does tell us that we have what does the Lord require of thee? It's really just to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
That's what the Lord requires of each one of us, wherever we go. But He also requires you to go and speak, because He also tells you in Ezekiel chapter 3 that if a wicked man comes and you don't tell him, you don't tell him the words that might save his life.
That's right.
And he says, then his blood I will require at your hand.
Right.
So the Lord does have some requirements. They're not grievous. He says, love justly, do justly, love mercy. And of course, who wouldn't love mercy? For especially for us that
Amen.
Are saved.
Amen.
It is the mercy of God that saved us.
Amen.
And we need to just serve the Lord in all things and never forget to speak. Never forget to preach to people, even if you say, well, I haven't been called to preach, how about giving you testimony?
Amen.
We all can do that.
Amen.
Now, we don't know about this man, how much education he had or how fluent he was, but the Lord, you know, told him, go and do it. Amen. He began to publish it. Maybe he couldn't speak it. A lot of you many times say, well, I'm just afraid to go to a door and go knock. And I can understand it.
Yeah.
Or to go and preach in the street. I know that's scary. But the thing is, can you pass a tract?
Amen.
That's what this guy was doing.
Amen.
He went and published it. He went and gave his testimony. And he brings honor and glory to the Lord.
Yeah.
And when they see what he has done in your life, then they get curious, they
Amen.
Want to know, and that's what we're looking for.
Amen.
What must I do to be saved? That's the kind of questions that we want to elicit.
Amen.
So we need to speak God's word, and of course, the Bible says in Psalm 50, let me give you this last one, Psalm 50 verse 23, he says, whoso offereth praise glorifies me. So every time you glorify the Lord, you praise Him, just like Paul was doing and Silas in that jail,
that's right.
You're glorifying the Lord.
Amen.
That's what He wants to hear.
Amen.
And if we don't do it, the rocks are going to praise Him.
Right.
The Bible tells us that this is what pleases the Lord in heaven. He's being praised all the time. He got those cherubim saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. They're constantly glorifying Him and praising Him, but He wants us to do it as a sacrifice.
Amen.
Because that's what the Bible does
Amen.
Tell you. And He says on verse 22, I'm here on Psalm 107,
Amen.
And let them sacrifice their sacrifices of thanksgiving.
Amen.
You know, everything is a sacrifice, whether it's thanksgiving or whether it's praise. But this is what the Lord wants. So whether you go or whether you stay, whether you're here or whether you're there,
right.
The thing is to serve the Lord wherever you go.
Amen.
Never stop
Amen.
Until the Lord comes for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.